You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline.
Max is going to be out there with kickers.
That's right.
Playing quarterback.
That's right.
Gardner even though Tom Tebow was pretty good at the QB spot.
Including Gotham Chopra and J.J. Redick as guests this hour on the Goodyear Hotline. Monday Night Football as Week 10 is in the books. Key, OBJ, targeted 3 times. Finished with 2 catches for 18 yards. What did you see from Odell?
I'm surprised you didn't say OBJ targeted just 3 times. You know.
He just got there. One practice.
What's wrong with OBJ and the Rams?
He had one practice.
His fault they lost, see? He just got there. I mean,
how do you evaluate his debut as such as it was?
I think they went into it with a game plan to try to help, get him the football in certain situations. And that game plan went out the window when they got so far behind. So they couldn't run a certain formations and personnel groupings that he would be involved in. And you could see that as they started to try and push the ball down the field, he wasn't really involved in those personnel groupings.
You blink, you're down 14, and the other team's running the ball and dominating the clock. What do you do?
Yeah, they had him on there, but I don't think that they thought, just like the rest of the country who was watching, thought that the 49ers would be up 14-0 and then putting it on them at the same time. We all was like, oh, yeah, they should be able to win this game. And then all of a sudden, you're like, whoa.
It's an NFL team in your division who always beats you.
You know what it brought up for me? It was when I watched OBJ play with Cleveland, I'm like, come on, Baker, you have to see it. You have to make it work. Like, there are a lot of questions looming around Baker. And then, obviously, this move going to the Rams, you're like, all right, understanding how the Rams are playing. And last night was the first time since I've been watching the Rams this year with Matthew Stafford leading the charge, where I start to think, have we really been seeing the real Matthew Stafford? Or are we just starting to see the real one now? Because a lot of people have been saying, well, you know, is this the guy that played we saw in Detroit? Because the last 2 games, even though he has a lot of weapons around him, he hasn't been quite himself. He's been off. I mean, I saw a lot of balls sailing over the top, throwing behind receivers. So that wasn't the conversation for me leaving last night. Not about OBJ's debut. It was more about, what's going on with Matthew Stafford?
Good point, guys, because Stafford, to me, like every quarterback has stumbled a little. It's a long season, right? So we're talking about the MVP race. It looked like Lamar and then Kyler and then maybe Brady. And then Brady didn't have a couple of good games. Now he falls back. Who is it? Stafford was left. Now Stafford had a couple bad games. So he
is Aaron Rodgers right now.
It's Aaron Rodgers right now. Well, although, and he's missed a game. And Rodgers has missed a game.
Kyler Murray's missed 2 games. He's still there.
Yeah, he can't be there. You missed 2 games.
It's well, right.
And he might not play again this week, so
yeah,
that's
tough. Yeah,
press.
Yeah,
and now, by the way, Derrick Henry, who is the non-quarterback, he's out for the season. It's crazy. But by the way, 17 game season NFL. This is we should get used to this, right? Like, it is a long season. Now we just finished week 10, and we got 7 games to go. It's like we're only a little past the halfway point. You hear what Odell had to say after the game?
I was excited. I was, felt like I was ready for the moment. I feel like I've been through so much, and God has put me in this position for that exact moment, and it just wasn't our night. Like, there's really no way around it. It just wasn't our night. All 3 phases of the game, they ran the ball well. They stopped us while we were on offense, and they just beat us.
I said 7, by the way, 7 weeks left. There's 8 weeks left in the NFL season. It is just when you start to approach 20 games in a season. So
so funny, they went right to OBJ. I'm like, OBJ just got there, man. Why y'all talking to him?
Exactly. Well, he's the whole.
They looking for some lightning rod. No, oh, just the worst,
you
man.
You got to give the people what they want. God. People want Odell. Whatever
worst.
It is about him, people are interested in.
No, I get it, but it's the worst. You running to him to talk to him about why they lost. Well, they gave me the ball. That's what they was expecting.
you think that I couldn't turn this right now into a thing where, hey, is Odell a distraction?
Just gross. You can't turn it in, not on this show, because I ain't going to let you.
Is Odell a distraction, Key?
The thing that makes interesting about what happened in last night's game is that the 49ers didn't play the way that they needed to.
Fire extinguisher.
Does Odell immediately regret not signing with the Packers?
Well, look, the Rams lose.
That is an interesting take.
Are they out of the real rankings? That's
Key,
the question.
I want to know the answer. Does Odell already – I mean, the Packers won this weekend. The Rams lost. The Packers Super Bowl team against
Small sample size, Evan. Stop.
They shut out the Seahawks. That defense is legit. The Rams can't stop a nosebleed.
Do I regret being in the cold versus the warm weather in California? Yes.
Yeah, that's the truth. Evan, after the game, Odell could just go to his mansion in L.A. or wherever he lives in L.A. and enjoy his life. I'm guessing, but here's the question. Since the Rams lost, are they out of Key's real rankings? The top spot was the Cardinals. They lost. Got to find out who's number one. Key's real rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
Key's real rankings, number 7.
Let me get the New England Patriot fans on my side. I'm taking the New England Patriots in this situation. I like the way Mac Jones has delivered the football so far this year as a young version of early stages of terrific Tom Brady. Didn't say he was going to win 7 Super Bowls. I'm just saying the way Tom Brady started off his career, defense dominating, dink and dunk, smoke and mirrors, and win football games, sitting at number 7 in my real rankings.
Number 6.
The Baltimore Ravens. We hadn't seen them in over a week, but that's okay. Last time we saw them, they didn't play so great, but I still see them as one of the top teams in the AFC conference.
Number 5.
The Buffalo Bills. Get the Buffalo Bills on my side as well. One of the main teams that my guy to my left always rooting for when they're winning, but not saying anything when they lose. But I think the Bills, what they did to the New York Jets, unleashing some of the things on them with Josh Allen, along with Stephon Diggs, running the ball well, defense playing solid and sound, they sit at number 5.
Number 4.
Number 4, the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titan fans, I hear you're looking for me because I don't really believe that 8-2. But guess what I did? I threw you a little nugget. I put you at number 4 in my real rankings, even though Derrick Henry is not part of the equation right now for you. If you could keep things together, you may be able to win the division and come out of the AFC with Tannehill, with a healthy Julio Jones when he comes back off a hamstring injury that he had when you acquired him. But you also have A.J. Brown, and defense is certainly playing a whole hell of a lot better.
Number 3.
How does this happen? How does this happen at number 3? The Kansas City Chiefs are my top team in the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs, might I say again, looking at them play last week against the Raiders, dominating fashion all over the field. Just, Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdowns, Tyreek Hill running routes, Kelce doing what he does, and the defense playing lights out. Honey Badger starting to play like Honey Badger. They sit at number 3, very dangerous down the way.
Number 2.
Number 2, the Green Bay Packers, the team that people probably want to start saying OBJ regrets not going to based on what happened last night and based on what happened on Sunday with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, the defense. But they did just lose Aaron Jones for a couple games, although they have Dylan in the backfield that can do some things, but not quite like Aaron Jones. They should be okay in the NFC winning that division and getting the number 2 seed as far as I'm concerned.
Number 1.
Number 1. How about them Cowboys? Woo, the Dallas Cowboys got just manhandled against the Denver Broncos. But then they came out against the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons had started to roll and play well. Matty Ice was freezing up again. Then they ran into the Cowboys and he started throwing back out. So the Cowboys are sitting at 1. Here's an interesting nugget for you, though. I bet you didn't think or know that the top 4 teams – in the NFC Conference, Max and Jay Will, have all lost games where they've gotten destroyed. Whether it's the New Orleans Saints against the Green Bay Packers, whether it's the Arizona Cardinals against the Carolina Panthers, whether it's the Los Angeles Rams against whoever you want to pick. They lost to Tennessee. They lost to the 49ers. They lost to the Arizona Cardinals. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, here's the
thing. Isn't that wild how that goes?
It is, but here's the thing about the Packers, and this is where I would push back, but we're going to get into the Cowboys. The Packers have the two losses, right?
Yeah.
First one was week one. I'm throwing that out, Key. Six padded practices for Aaron Rodgers. Week one, it's a long season. Forget that, right?
Still got beat pretty bad.
Dig it. Then they didn't have Rodgers because of COVID, so they lose with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically,
so two pretty big caveats there.
Right. In other words, like when the Packers have had Rodgers other than week one, they're just beating everybody, including the Arizona Cardinals on a short week without their top three targets for Aaron Rodgers at a time when Arizona was undefeated. But you have the Cowboys.
Backwards.
Look, a lot of this is the impression a team gives you. The Cowboys just look so loaded. Like the Chiefs, like you, and you got to take recent past into account. I get it, Key. So you have them, the Cowboys, as your top seed a week after losing to Denver. What did Mike McCarthy do to motivate it, to motivate his team between that bad loss and that tremendous win?
Monkey butt. I highly recommend it if anybody's never used it. It's you know, I won't get into my personal hygiene here, but it's, you know, raw red ass week was the topic. So we're just, you know, making an emphasis based off of correcting what went on last week, and I thought our players did a great job with it. So look good on a PowerPoint. If you ever seen a can of monkey butt, you get it. It's expressive in the cure that it's I don't have the right words here. So
yeah, he gave him a little bit of red ass. He was being an aggressive coach in practice, teaching them what they needed to know. And that's what they did. They coached them up and things, you know, walking around kind of mad, whatnot. And they responded. They responded well, though. And that's why the Dallas Cowboys are sitting atop of my real rankings. As you see, I emphasize my.
So why would you have them over the Packers real quick?
Because I think that they're a more complete team all the way around. I think their running game is extremely better. I think as a group of wide receivers, they're a little bit better. They actually have two guys that can be true number ones in CeeDee Lamb as well as Amari Cooper. And I think defensively, they're starting to come on and play better. They got a secondary that is much better than it was, improved a year ago. And I like the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, I got to say the thing about the Falcons.
Doesn't mean I don't like Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't really pick a better team to get healthy against in the public perception, because the Falcons' record is decent, and they've been winning recently. But go back and look at the games, and I have the schedule in front of me. They beat the Dolphins by 2 points. It was a road win, so okay. Then they lose to the Panthers, and they lost to the Panthers at home by 6. They beat the Saints by 2 post-Jameis Winston injury. Okay, so they're on the road in the division still, but it's Trevor Siemian by 2 points. So the Falcons started giving the impression that they were, I think, a little better than they really were. They're an NFL team. They can win some close games against some lesser teams with some, you know, without their quarterback, and they lose some not such lopsided games against some better teams. But that's the right, it's a brand name team in the sense that people think they're winning and they're kind of good. But, Key, they're not on the level of the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys, a healthy Cowboys team, should smash the Falcons or beat them at least.
But they're a good enough team not to get destroyed the way the Cowboys destroyed them.
They destroyed them.
And coming off that loss that they had to the Broncos, how the Cowboys looked in the next game, if it were close, would make you have questions about the Cowboys.
You know, but the Broncos do have, at least they have an identity where if that's going strong, they might do that to you. What are the Falcons going to do? You know what I mean? The Broncos at least could do some Vic Fangio defense, highly motivated against the Cowboys.
He should have gave that blueprint to the Falcons.
Yeah, well.
That he said he had.
Yeah, blueprint.
And he should have tried to use it on the team. Who did they just lose to? The Broncos just the Eagles. He should have gave that blueprint to the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts had a real good game.
He should have used that blueprint on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Right, Evan?
Yeah. A lot of good, you know, fast secondary is the blueprint, I guess. So the number three and number one team in the real rankings face each other this week, Key. Cowboys, Chiefs.
The Chefs.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
What a great game.
I feel like this is going to be a good game, but I also feel like Kansas City should win at home. And I feel like Kansas City has gotten back to what they do best. They're still not running the ball nearly – enough for my, you know, for my liking. But there's only they only got one guy in Diggs, and Patrick Mahomes is going to get him because he likes to sit and bite on stuff, and he can't run with Tyreek Hill. And once he settles his feet once or twice, and that pump faking and all the different stuff that Patrick Mahomes likes to do will eventually catch up to Stephon Diggs.
Mm, that's an
not
interesting.
Not Stephon to
Trayvon.
Too many Diggs brothers.
Yeah, that's interesting analysis. The Cowboys this year have been an actually good team. They're like five actually good teams, right, at any given moment in the NFL. They've been a good team. Other than the Broncos loss, they've been good. The Chiefs have not been. Like, even the Chiefs have been winning because Mahomes, they got talent. But I was not impressed by their win against the Raiders, believe it or not. If the Chiefs can beat the Cowboys.
Let me say this, Max.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, as a shooter in basketball,
yeah,
all it takes are a couple of shots
to
see go in, right? Like, you'd be like, oh, I'm off, man. Make a three, make a layup, make a mid-range. I'm like, yo, I'm hot.
Feeling it.
And I don't know why there's so many basketball analogies with the Kansas City Chiefs, because just those are the plays, like even that 50-50 ball to Darrell Williams, right? The fact that they start getting those type of plays, you start thinking, oh, man. Like, this is what you've been talking about, Max. Like, and the more Patrick Mahomes believes that, the more he starts becoming more daring. So you have a chance to see two of the most explosive type offenses in the NFL compete on a high stage.
The most impressive thing to me about the win over the Raiders is the O-line and the defense looked better. I actually did not think Mahomes it's crazy because he threw for 400 yards and five TDs.
And you think he had a subpar game?
I've seen Mahomes way better than that. Like, way better than that. But you know, he's good. Yeah, 400 yards, five TDs, good. You take that all day. Who's going to have the bigger game, Mahomes or Dak Prescott?
I'd probably say Dak Prescott.
We'll have the bigger game.
Cleaner game. Mm-hmm. Cleaner game.
Why?
You know, just because he's not going to take all the chances that Mahomes going to take. Mm. He's not going to be reckless with the football. You know, he's going to protect the football, where Mahomes will tend to be a little what we deem as reckless with the ball, even though it will pay off.
So the Cowboys are
vying. But they're still going to lose, in my opinion.
The Cowboys are vying for the number one seed. That's the bye. The Chiefs are trying to win the division.
But the Chiefs might be able to still get the – I haven't looked at all the numbers in the AFC, but they may still get the number one
possible.
Bye.
Why
huh?
not? Why not? Yeah.
Because what, do they have four losses?
Do the Chiefs have four? No. Hold on.
Three or four. They got three or four.
I think they were. They were 4-4, right? So they're
– You say what, Evan? Yeah, 6-4. They still might get the first seed.
That's going to be tough, though.
How?
Because go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say they're 6-4, 3-2 at home. Spread is
Tennessee.
Kansas City favored by
Tennessee
two and
is
a half.
Two nice. Games in front of them. They beat them head to
Kansas
head.
Kansas City.
They 2.5 games?
2.5. Yeah. That's the spread on the game. Favoring KC.
Oh, no. I'm
but
saying,
they're at home, so the odds makers are really saying the Cowboys are slightly better, but since they're, because that's
at
3
home,
points.
Together, yeah.
So 2.5 indicates to me, on a neutral field, maybe the Cowboys are a little bit better.
Problem
but at
is,
home.
Max, they're not on a neutral field, man.
Yeah, that's they're why they're 2.5
it's a field
point
goal.
Favorites. Yeah.
2.5 is a field goal, and I expect for them to win. But they're two games back of Tennessee in head to head. So Tennessee could start to crumble. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, these suckers can really get the number one seed.
Yes. That'd be hilarious.
Can I just say something real quick for the Dallas Cowboys? Because we made the mention of, we had a conversation yesterday about how important it was for them to get the number one overall seed in NFC. And Key brought up the point about Green Bay playing that frigid weather. Starting to get cold out in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So will this be the first game that we're seeing Dallas in that kind of temperature play against a team like this?
It's going to be interesting, scenario. But here's the question. Who needs it more? Who needs the win more? The Cowboys with a better record but a more realistic chance to get the number one seed, or the Chiefs, who are still competing for their – the Cowboys aren't in competition for the division. Chiefs are. Chiefs, Key, you believe, still have a shot to get the number one seed, but the Cowboys' shot looks better to me. Who needs the game more? Chiefs at home at 6-4, or Cowboys with a realistic shot at that number one?
Who needs a game more?
Yeah.
Kansas City needs a game
right.
more.
Mm-hmm. They're at home. They're going 6-5.
You don't want to drop it. All of a sudden, you lose that game. What are you, 6-5? It just – you don't want to do that to yourself. you can start to separate yourself even more away from the rest of the AFC West if you get this game. The Cowboys could afford to lose. Let's say the Cowboys, they don't get the number one seed. There's only one place they're going that would be a bad environment for the Cowboys.
The Packers.
Everywhere else, Tampa's warm, indoor stadiums, their own state.
They'll have fans there.
Yeah, the only place is the freezing cold in Green Bay. You want to try to stay away from that as much as you can.
But damn, you might. I mean, is there a way around? Like, there's a good chance you're going to have to go.
And I know people think Green Bay, Tampa Bay went in there and won last year. Yeah, okay, well, that was last year.
And that also required the coach not letting Rodgers go for it on fourth down, or maybe it's a different
outcome. You don't want to be standing on that sideline when the sun starts to drop at 6 o'clock.
So then that's the conversation. So who needs the number one seed most of anybody? It's probably, I'm not saying they need it, but would they like to have it?
Well, if you Kansas City.
Everybody
want,
come here.
If you want
come here and play in these conditions.
Well, it's the same thing with Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City get the number one seed. It's cold, man.
Arrowhead, too, is that crowd, the whole thing.
The whole thing, man. The stadium gets the shaking. It's cold. You sitting over there. You don't want that.
I've never counted
been to a game there, man.
Jay,
I'm dying to go to a game there.
I never counted the Chiefs out this year. That's all I'm going to say. But this Cowboys game is interesting. The difference may be not just that they're at home, but what we said, they need it more. Mm-hmm. Tough game, the team that needs it more at home. What drives the greatest quarterback of all time? Apparently me. You see all the stuff he went at me with after he won the Super Bowl? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers, download the podcast. By the way, I'm not going to be doing this just in today because I got to travel to Vegas for the Porter Crawford fight. I'll be there the rest of the week doing Max Unboxings and stuff. Yeah.
Crawford, what you got there? What you got?
Oh, it's going to be a... Oh, my God, is this going to be a great fight.
This is a real fight.
Oh.
This is a real fight.
Crawford might be the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and Porter is no joke. All right. Tom Brady shares a firsthand account of his 10 Super Bowl appearances in the new ESPN Plus series, Man in the Arena. That's Teddy Roosevelt, former American president. Speech at the Sorbonne has received especially a lot of fanfare recently. Athletes like LeBron James like to quote it. It's kind of like If, the Rudyard Kipling poem that athletes are discovering. Oh, this is really good. Anyway, Tom Brady, Man in the Arena, Tom Brady, directed by Religion of Sports' Gotham Chopra. The series features Brady and other notable figures deconstructing the milestones of his legendary NFL career, mining the psychological and emotional terrain of each victory and defeat. And you can listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports has an impact on our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career, wherever you get your podcasts. We are joined now by director Gotham Chopra right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
So what can people expect from the Man in the Arena today on ESPN Plus?
Well, I mean, there's a video. So the video series, you know, which is available on ESPN Plus, and then there's a companion podcast series. But the video series is, look, it's Tom, it's looking back at this incredible career, and more than just like, you know, chronicling, I mean, the stories we know. We know the 199th pick. We know, you know, Drew Bledsoe getting hit by Mo Lewis. I think most football fans know that. But, you know, it is Man in the Arena. It's Tom's point of view. It's not the dynasty. It's not Seth Wickersham's recent, you know, amazing book, which I used for research. It's not the definitive history of the Patriots dynasty. It's really Tom's journey across 20 years, which, as we all know, is still ongoing. I mean, when we started this thing, it was a 9-part series. And then, you know, as last year unfolded in front of all of our eyes, ESPN exercised their option for that 10th episode. So it's interesting because on the one hand, it's definitely a reflection piece. On the other hand, it's happening in real time. It's still going. And you can feel that in Tom when he's talking about, you know, this crazy journey.
When you sat down with Tom and you started having the conversations about putting the project together, what was Tom's goal? Like, what did he want to see come about?
You know, I've gotten close to Tom over the last few years. A couple of years ago, I did this other series called Tom Versus Time. And, you know, I'm a huge fan. Frankly, I grew up in Boston, and I was a Drew Bledsoe guy before I was a Tom Brady guy. And so I'm always, just as a storyteller, trying to sort of unpack and understand. And so this series is sort of an extension of, like, the natural types of conversations. Tom and I are pretty much the same age. So as much as there's like a football story, there's also the story about a man. And it's no secret that Tom's been going through a lot of transition the last couple of years. And I think as he started to think about, you know, do I still want to play? You know, what motivates a guy at that stage? There was like this real time unpacking of like, okay, what have I learned? And what are the things I love about this game? And why I still want to play. So you could feel that in him as he looked back. And what's interesting is, like, you can almost see it, that he's taking pieces from these earlier teams, not so much like the playbook as much as, like, you know, the culture that was built in New England and how that sustained success happened for so long. And he's sort of trying to apply it, because obviously with great talent, with the perfect storm, you can win. But can you win consistently across time? You know, I think Tom's an ambitious guy, and, you know, he wants to win every single year. So you can feel him, see him sort of trying to apply those things he's learned to what he's doing right now.
Gotham, Jay Williams here. Big fan of your work, seeing what you've done with The Love Guru and also Bulletproof Monk. And I was curious, you know, your time that you spent with Tom and Time Versus Time, Tom Versus Tom, excuse me. A lot of T's. Tom Versus Time, I got it, finally. How was this different compared to that?
Well, Tom Versus Time obviously is very focused on a singular season. It was in the moment. It was, you know, Tom was turning 40 years old. That was a thing at the time. And, you know, he was coming off this incredible, you know, greatest comeback in the history of sports with the Falcons Super Bowl. And so, and there was just like a lot going on in his life, but we were very focused in that moment. This obviously is a huge reflection piece. I mean, we're starting in 2001, like it feels like a million years ago. I mean, he's a different person. It's a different world, you know, when you kind of look back at that time. So I'd say that's the main difference. But it's also like, you know, Tom just talks about, I mean, God, you look at like some of his teammates back then. I think in that first episode, it's Willie McGinnis and Drew Bledsoe. And then the second episode, it's, you know, Rodney Harrison, Lawyer Malloy. And it's just to this, you know, current, like, you just look at just the incredible amount of players that he's played with. He just has this really interesting perspective that's unlike almost anything in sports. It's hard, you know, I would imagine like LeBron is the only current player that could have that similar sort of perspective, in that he's still doing it, even, and he's been doing it for so long.
Tom's all of a sudden has, you know, caught my attention, my eyes on his personality shift since leaving the New England Patriots and going down to Tampa. How has the perception changed in your view about just who he is now?
Yeah, I mean, the perception has probably changed, but the guy hasn't really changed. I mean, he just, I think New England was a culture that, you know, not, I guess, I don't know if I want to say suppressed that type of, at least the expression of it. But, I mean, personalities have always been there. You know this, Keyshawn. Like, they were always there. It was just a culture that didn't really, like, celebrate them or allow them to get out.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's always kind of been this way. I mean, Tom's, you know, got a sense of humor. Tom's hugely competitive. But, and it's partly the culture's changed. I mean, one of the things, as you go back to 2001, 2002, et cetera, there was no social media. Like, you know, there was, like, none of that existed. And so it was a very different, I mean, you can talk about this. It was a very different locker room culture. Guys, you know, Tom at that time, you know, he was the same age roughly as all of his teammates. They were at the same life stage. So they hung out all the time. I mean, there was no, like, okay, cool, practice is over. Everyone's on Instagram and out the door, and everyone has a production company and doing their own thing. This is just a different time. So, I mean, Tom's like everyone else. He's adapted with the times. And obviously the culture down in Tampa is radically different. And I think, you know, if he was at a different stage of his career, I don't know if he'd have handled it so well. But now, you know, he's still, at the end of the day, I'm going to joke with Tom, like, he's a dad. I mean, and Tom and I have kids the same age. And that's, it's just a very different person, but a very different culture right now.
So I figure it's human nature, right? The greatest coach ever, the greatest quarterback ever. They 20 years together, unheard of things in an NFL league of parity, all the championship appearances, let alone the wins. And then they're not together all of a sudden, so we're all looking like who does what. Have you ever heard, the time you spent around Tom, him talk about Belichick, good and bad, and what has he said?
Yeah, I mean, he talks a lot about it, and I've been with him a lot the last few years, like as the sort of transition has taken place. Talking about two alpha personalities, you know, you're talking about two hugely competitive. One thing I will say about Tom, and he acknowledges this, but, and I've learned over time, let Tom speak for himself, and which is kind of what the series is about. But that being said, Tom will say, like, you don't have this type of success across this amount of time without these pillars. And we're leaving out, you know, RKK and Robert Kraft and, like, these three. You don't have 9 Super Bowls across, you know, 20 seasons without that type of stability. And sure, are there challenges across the time? I mean, you're talking about people who change, their lives change, their relationships change, et cetera. So it gets tense. And, you know, that's been well chronicled, et cetera. But I think at the end of the day, and certainly having some distance, having some space and perspective, I think there's more love and appreciation than any other emotion. I'm genuinely feel that. And Tom talks about that. He talks about that in the series. You know, you don't have this type of success across. You can have, and we saw it last year with Tom. You can, he's a talented guy. You surround him with talented people. You're in the middle of a perfect sort. You can win a Super Bowl, but can you win 6? You know, like, I mean, who knows? Like, Tom, I think we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning with Tom Brady, so I'm not sure we'll ever see. But, and then you look at New England, like, Bill's doing it. I mean, he seems to be having a good season with this young quarterback, but can you do it across that span of time without, you know, just like the pillars? I don't know. I doubt it.
It was unlikely to ever happen, and it will probably never happen again. Thank you, Gotham Chopra. Appreciate you jumping on with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Man in the Arena, ESPN Plus, check it out. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, a battle of MVPs.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. New ESPN NBA analyst J.J. Redick is with us right now in studio giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning.
Well, it's always been great to be here.
Great to be here.
I just won a bet against Keyshawn. It feels pretty good. First day.
Yeah. Well, man, you was going to make that. That's cheating. I told him he couldn't make a shot into the trash basket on his first try, and it went all at the bottom of the trash basket. So
Jay's my shooting coach on that trash basket. Yeah, it's just working
out. No wonder you keep missing.
You've gotten a
lot better. No. My percentage is way. I'm hovering around 50% now. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He kind of had the follow through where his hand just went the opposite direction.
Yeah, for some reason.
Where it was supposed to go. Yeah. It was interesting.
JJ, what are your early impressions of the season, the NBA season so far?
I think the league is as balanced as it's ever been, and I know the Warriors are playing unbelievable basketball right now. They're reminiscent right now, even without Klay Thompson, of the 2015-2016 teams. A lot of ball movement. They're first in assist percentage, first in passes, least amount of dribbles per touch. They're playing like those 2015-2016 teams. And Draymond, of course, you know, anchors that defense. They're as dominant as ever. But across the league, there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of good teams. And there's going to be a lot of parity this year, given some health issues with a bunch of teams.
You know, we talk a lot about Steph on the show, and also you talk a lot about Kevin Durant. But what do you think about the efficiency in which he's playing? I mean, I saw a game the other day at 12 shots, scored 30 points. It's just, you know, leading the league in scoring, but close to a 50-40-90.
He's amazing. There's really never been a player like him. A seven-footer. He is 7 feet. Mm-hmm. A seven-footer that plays like a guard. His skill set with his handle, his passing, his shooting off the bounce, his shooting off the catch, his finishes. Offensively, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive player. Complete skill set in league history. And he does it efficiently every year. You know, you can make an argument, of course, for the best shooters ever. Steph, Clay, Kyle Korver, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller. Kevin Durant's up there with the greatest shooters ever.
Mm-hmm. He also, his passing, like he became, I thought, in Golden State, a kind of passer that can help your team that way too. And he can see over guys, and he's a very willing passer for a guy who can score like him.
Oh, he just wants to hoop. Yeah, he just wants to hoop. He is a hooper, and he wants to win. And he's always been willing to get better and improve. I think playing in that system in Golden State where the ball moves a lot, it was a little bit different than how he played in OKC. But he just gets better every year. And I've said this 100 times already. What he's doing post Achilles injury?
It's nuts.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
Not supposed to
it's
be.
It's not
like
he's 25 years old. He's in his 30s. It's nuts.
And even though the defense maybe is not like he got to be an excellent defensive player too before the injury, but he's been willing to take the tough defensive assignment like on a nightly basis. It's remarkable.
Let's do this, JJ, though, because Jay Will's clamoring at wanting to talk about the MVP race. So is it KD or is it Steph right now? If it ended today, which they like to do a lot,
it's got to be Steph right now.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact that the Warriors have been the best team in basketball, all right? Let's be very clear with that. They've been the best team in basketball so far. I also think Steph should just get the MVP as of right now for what he did to the Bulls the other night. And that shot, like, hang that in the Louvre.
Mm-hmm.
That is an iconic Steph moment. And we'll have a season full of iconic Steph moments, a season full of KD moments. But as of right now, Steph is the MVP.
Are you worried about the Lakers, man?
Come on, man.
I'm just being serious. Like, look, I think they have all the talent in the world, and obviously a lot's going to be depend upon Frank Vogel to make it work out. But there are a lot of moments where I wonder how Russ is going to play with LeBron, and they have defensive lapses.
Key, are you worried about the Lakers?
You know what?
That's
to be honest
question.
With you, JJ, I'm not worried because it's still early. When we start to get into the second half of the season, and if it looks like this, and LeBron is back, and it looks like this, now I'm gonna worry about it. If they don't become the one seed and all of a sudden they're the fourth seed, I'm going to take that. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that because, again, as you know, being a guy who played in the NBA a very long time, it's all about getting in the tournament.
Yep.
And once you get in the tournament, you're healthy, that team is going to be something special.
Well, look, LeBron's played in 40% of their games so far. And if LeBron plays in 40% of the games this season, they're not going to be very good. That's just a fact. He's the best player on that team. If you look at the net rating of Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, these guys are getting outscored by 6 or 7 points per 100 possessions, both of them. So those guys have to be better. I said this at the beginning of the season. I've said it already last week. The fit is clunky on that team. They need more shooting. They need a little bit more playmaking besides Westbrook. Hopefully Kendrick Nunn can help there. But I'm definitely concerned. And it's not so much the age and all that. To me, it's the fit and the health of LeBron.
Although Westbrook, every year, new team, new teammates. First half, we're like, oh, he's no good. Second half, we're like, oh, pardon. He's kind of an MVP.
Let's just wait on the takes with the Russell Westbrook.
Second
let's
half.
Just wait on that.
But I haven't, and look, a lot of things until you see it, you talk about it, I just haven't seen him do that without the ball being primarily in his hands.
You're not wrong.
That's all.
JJ, I need to know about the Sixers. Ben Simmons, who... you know, doesn't want to play there and everything else. I always felt like the Philly fans kind of took it easy on him for a guy who refused to shoot. Embiid, they seem to do a lot of stuff like J.J. Redick's not there all of a sudden and Jimmy Butler's not there. Those are Embiid's guys. It seems like they were doing a lot for Simmons. And what's your take on the whole situation there right now?
I would say Ben would argue that the Sixers fans have not been easy on him. I would think he would take the opposite argument there. When I look at the Sixers... at some point, there's going to be some resolution to this Ben Simmons thing. I know Daryl Morey said it could take 4 years. I don't think it's going to take 4 years. So let's say they get a player back, or let's say he joins the team. What we've seen this year, and this is why I think they're a championship contender with or without Ben, the emergence of Tyrese Maxey as a legitimate starting point guard in this league. He's shooting 51% from three over his last 10 games. Mm-hmm. Seth Curry has been great. Tobias Harris gets a little bit better every year. A little bit better. He could definitely be an all-star this year. And their bench has been fantastic. Furkan Korkmaz, Shake Milton, George Niang, who was probably one of the most underrated free agent pickups in the league this year.
Yeah, I would say Ben could argue they haven't been easy on him recently. But for Philly, by Philly standards, boy, they took it easy on him for a minute. That is J.J. Redick, now an ESPN
Germ spreader.
Analyst. Not germ spreader. He's coming to you with analytics and the credibility. What are you talking about? Key is on First Take on ESPN in a matter of moments. There's Molly getting all set up.
JJ is going to school me on some hoops.
Where's your suit?
Stay right here for Greeny. That's coming up. KGM will be back tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.